This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Off the Mess. I'm your host, Samantha Bush, and today it's just us. It's just me and you, and that's kind of the way I like it. You know, I do love a guest every now and again, but sometimes it's just good to get back to basics. What a day. What a day in media. We find out Sam and Corey from Summer House / Winter House are dating. We find out that the Barbie movie is coming out and the trailer dropped and it looks fucking incredible and so insane. And I can't fucking wait to watch it. It also comes out the same day as Oppenheimer. So we love a double feature. Also, Trump got arrested today. That's really crazy. It's really crazy that a president of the United States is like, you know, he's being arrested. So we'll keep our eyes on that situation. It's the moment we've kind of all been waiting for, frankly. And wow, it's what a week. It's only Tuesday. I hope everybody had a great weekend. And today is going to kind of be a little bit of a different episode. I haven't done one of these in a really long time, and I've had a lot of new listeners join, you know, this podcast. So I kind of want everybody to get to know me. I can get to know you, you know, the huge. So I put on my Instagram, like an ask me anything, you know, if there's anything that you are dying to know, please feel free to put into the question box. So we're going to kind of just go through these, and see what people have to say. And I was debating on whether to put their handles in, like, and be like, so-and-so asked, but, like, I don't want to, like, put anyone on blast. I feel weird about it because, like, I'm scared that if I do it, then someone's going to get fucking pissed, and I just don't even want to deal with that. So, anyway, let's just dive right in. The first question I see is, are you tired of talking about the Scandoval? This is an interesting question. I think it's complicated because for the first like 2 weeks, it's all I wanted to talk about. It's all I thought about. I mean, that weekend when the news broke, like I will never forget. It's all that just like was on my mind. I wanted to talk about it to everybody. But then like what normally happens in situations like this, and it's understandable, it's very easy to do, is like people start reporting like the smallest, stupidest shit that I've ever fucking heard. I don't care that, you know, in episode 4, season 6, like so Tom said this to so-and-so. We know that. Like, I got it. I'm a little, that's the shit I'm kind of tired of. I'm not tired of like seeing Ariana in her revenge dress at the reunion. That's fucking a slay. Okay. I'm here for it. I love it. I also, you know, hearing that Raquel / Rachel fucked on Sheena's bed. Like those are big pieces of information that I love. It's like the little shit that like just clogs up my feed that I'm like, okay, I don't care about this. Like, I don't need to watch like a flashback of like Stassi being like, yeah, he's a dick. And then everyone's like, yeah, Stassi. Like, I don't need that. Like, I remember it. Does anyone like feel the same way? Like, I think people are getting a little weird about it where they're like, oh my God, I think Rachel's like a single white female and she's like a copycat of all these different, you know, looks people have done. And it's like, or she just was wearing what was in style at the time. Like, and I'm not even trying to defend her, okay? But it's like, we go outside, please. Talk to me when there's like real fucking news going down. That's what I want to know. Okay. Hope that answers your question. I feel like really out of breath today. Does anyone else? I don't know what's going on. Someone asked, oh, this is nice. What are your big summer plans? Okay, so right now I don't have any. Danny and I keep throwing around ideas of things that we want to do. Like he wants to go back to Chicago. He wants to take me to Wrigley Field because he lived in Chicago for a few years. You know, we want to go on like an East Coast drive, you know, road trip, you know, up the coast. I want to go to North Carolina to visit my Gracie girl. I want to go to LA, like, but that's not until the fall. But you guys, like, I just have all these ideas. Oh, Danny and I are probably going to go glamping again. Hopefully we won't have the same situation as last time. Which was like, we had a really great experience. Just the last night was horrendous because Ruby drank too much lake water or something and ended up having diarrhea in our glamping tent. And then the power went out because there was a big storm. So it was a shit show, no pun intended. So yeah, right now I don't have any big summer plans, but I do have a really big plan coming to fruition slowly with my mom. Her and I are going to Italy in September. We cannot wait. We have yet to really finalize any details, but we're working on it. Can we never go back to calling Rachel Raquel? I know that like this is a thing right now and everyone's calling her Rachel, but like it doesn't, like I'm so used to calling her Raquel that honestly like the Rachel doesn't even come to my mind. Fuck, marry, kill, Tom edition. Sandoval, Girardi, and D'Agostino. Fuck me. Okay. I would marry Tom D'Agostino. I hate myself for saying this, but I would fuck Sandoval and I would kill Tom Girardi. Yeah, that's what I would do. Are Paige and Craig in pretty much the same relationship that she dumped Perry over? I think Paige is very scared of letting go and letting her independence go. Because that was something that we saw with Perry. Like, she just wasn't ready to, like, take that next step and, like, be married and have kids and settle down. And I think that we're kind of seeing it with Craig. So maybe that's something that she needs to, like, look inwards, you know, at herself. Because I don't think it's the guy. I think it's that she just is really, really scared. And I honestly get that. It's a scary step. And, like, I feel like once you turn 30, like, people really start to amp up their questions about this shit. Like, well, when are you going to get engaged? And like, when are you going to do this? And like, it all comes from a good place. Like, I think people need to stop being so hard on others for just like simply asking like kind of the normal questions. But you know, you do kind of have to start thinking like that and you have to start, you know, deciding your next move. And that's overwhelming. And I feel like she's like, listen, I'm in the prime of my fucking life and my career. I really don't want to talk about, you know, if I'm moving to Charleston, because I also just don't think Paige would ever live there. Like, she does not strike me as a Charleston girl. And I don't see Craig living in New York. So I don't know how that's going to work. I'm shocked that it like never came up before. This is like a very cute question. And a lot of people asked, how is Barb? Barb is really good. So if you guys don't know who Barb is my adorable long-haired calico cat. She is 5 years old, which is so fucking crazy. And she's absolutely stunning and gorgeous and truly the best cat that's ever walked this earth. I hate when people are like, fuck cats. Like, I hate cats. Like, grow up. Grow the fuck up. They're cute. They're cuddly. They're funny. They're really smart. She is literally, I call her my landlord because, you know, she like runs my life. And Barb and I will be reunited in several months. So for a lot of you guys, if you guys don't know this, I don't really get too personal on my Instagram. I get more personal, I feel like, on the pod, which is fine. But, so I lived in an apartment in downtown Detroit And my lease, this was in August, my lease was like coming to an end. I was scrambling trying to find a place because like everywhere is so expensive and you get nothing for your money. Nothing. Okay. Nothing. And I have a dog and I have a cat. So that also kind of limits like where I can live. So my friend Paige, roommate Paige, she's like, hey, she lives in a townhouse that she bought. And she was like, I have an extra bedroom with a bed. You can stay here. Obviously, you can bring Ruby, but like you can't bring Barb because I'm like deathly allergic. And I was like, okay. So it was supposed to be just like this temporary move. Like I was like thinking to myself, like I shouldn't even unbox like my clothes. That's how like short term I thought this was going to be. But then, you know, winter comes. So Barb is with my mom. Let me like make that clear. I didn't like give her away. She's living with my mom and her dog Winston, and she literally beats the shit out of my mom's dog and she thinks it's fun. And he's terrified of her. He's a little shih tzu and he's just like a little cutie goblin and I love him so much. But yeah, she again runs her house as well. And the thing about Barb is like she's not a typical cat in the sense of like she never destroys furniture. Like she's not one of those cats. She's not like a biter. She's just kind of, she's almost like a dog. Like she greets you at the door. She like likes to go outside, like all those things. But anyway, so my roommate Paige is probably moving to New York in June after the school year ends. And I'll be taking over the lease. Well, she bought this place, but I'll be like basically her tenant. And then Barb's coming back. So Barb and I will be reunited this summer. Ruby cannot wait. We went to PetSmart last week and she, you know how they have like the little adoptable cats there? She wanted to play with them so bad. She was literally traumatizing them. We didn't get like up too close because I didn't want to like fully scare the cats, but she loves animals. She loves, loves, loves them. Anyway. Oh, this person asks, can you tell us anything about your relationship? Heart eye emoji. Of course I can. So again, for those that don't know, this is going to be the name of the podcast. For those that don't know, I've been dating Danny for almost a year. It will be our 1 year at the end of May. I don't think we've ever decided on like a date per se, which is kind of funny, but I'm going to say it's like the 31st of May, maybe. I don't know. It's like that. It's like the last week of May. We'll figure it out. So it's really crazy. It's almost been a year and things are going really, really good. And I'm very happy. He's literally the best. He understands me more than anyone I've ever dated. Like he just, and he also just supports me and like doesn't think what I do for a living is insane. Like he does, but he thinks that's really cool. And, yeah, so I met him through my friend Jamie. I was in her wedding. So she is married to Danny's brother. So we, Danny and I first met at her engagement party. It was August 21. Yeah. I didn't really think anything of it. I was in like a no dating zone. I was like, I don't want to date anybody. The store was fucking closed. Okay. It was boarded up, ready for winter. Like it was, I was done. I needed a break. And so I met him and his whole family and they're great. And, you know, I thought he was cute and like really easy to talk to. We talked like the whole night. We sat next to each other and, you know, we would like run into each other at like her birthday, at my friend's birthday, or like at a, you know, a football viewing party or something. And yeah, like I said, I didn't think anything of it. And then we saw each other at the bridal shower. So this is like fast forward like 8-9 months, something like that. And I saw him and he like looked really good. And obviously my store was open for business because like the fact that I even thought that, I was like, okay, like I'm ready to like get back out there. And so, you know, I tried to talk to him and he was like, you know, he was like, okay, now that I know him like really well, I totally get what he was going through, but he was in charge of like packing things up and like putting them in the car and like in the boxes. And he was packing up like the fine china that they'd just gotten for their wedding. And I was like trying to talk to him and he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he was being really short with me, but now knowing him, I'm like, oh, he was just trying not to break shit. Like he is like a bull in a goddamn china shop. Okay. This man is always knocking things over. He's spilling things. He's like almost 6'5". So he's just like a naturally like big person. And he's just always, he's always just like knocking shit over. His dad isn't big like that, but like he also is a spiller. And anyway, so yeah. So I texted my friend and I just said like, hey, like Danny was looking really good. And she's like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. So then she texted him and told him what I said. And then he asked for my number. And then we started texting. And then we saw each other obviously at the wedding. And he like, you know, we were kind of texting leading up to the wedding. Excuse me. We were texting leading up to the wedding, but like nothing, you know, like we weren't going out on dates or anything like that. And yeah, we saw each other at the wedding and like nothing happened. We just, again, like hung out. It was also like there was a lot going on. I was a bridesmaid. He was one of the groomsmen. Like we were busy bees. And then we hung out. Our first date was like that week after. And I went over and because he was dog sitting his brother and Jamie's dogs. And so I brought Ruby because she has a love affair with Jamie's dog, Mumford. And I walk in and he's got like Leon Bridges playing and he's got like, you know, it's like summer and the windows are open and like he's got like a cheese board with crackers and he's got wine for me. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is so cute. And we just, I mean, we talked the whole night. We just talked and we hit it off and we've literally been together ever since. I told you I loved him, or I told him I loved him like 2.5 weeks into dating, which is fucking crazy. It's insane. Like I'm aware that that's really crazy, but I couldn't not tell him. Like I couldn't not tell him how I felt. I just had to get it out. And even if he didn't say it back, I would have been fine with it. I mean, I probably wouldn't have, let's be completely honest, but he said it back and yeah, we've been together ever since. And yeah, he's also, because there was a lot of questions about this as well. A lot of questions if I'm converting. So Danny is Jewish. And the answer is yes, I will be converting. I don't know when. I know that the process I've read, I mean, if you're Jewish and like, or you know someone who's converted, please slide in my DMs. You can go to my personal account. I'll probably like, I'll check that. I don't know. You can just literally just try to get at me in any way you can. Email me and tell me. But the process I've read takes about 6 to 12 months. It depends on if you're going like Orthodox or not, I guess. I hope I'm not offending anybody. I don't know that much about it. But yeah, so I will be converting. I didn't grow up religious. I'm not baptized. My mom grew up Catholic and my dad, I don't know what the fuck he was. I don't think he was anything either. So I don't have any like preconceived ideas about religion. Like, I mean, I do have, have thoughts on like when people like weaponize their religion to try to like control other people in their bodies, i.e. Like people who are pro-life anyway. That I have an issue with, but I, you know, I'm excited to dive into it, see what's going on. I don't know what to say. This week I am celebrating my first Passover. Him and I we're going to several Passover dinners. You know, he did come over to my parents' house for Christmas. It was like the first time he ever did that. I went over to his family's for Hanukkah. I did Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Like I'm in it. We've done Shabbat and like his parents are always like teaching me like what this means and what that means. And from what I've seen, and this is like specific to their family, I don't want to speak on like a larger group of people, but for their family, like it really is just about bringing the family together and moments like that. It's really beautiful and they have such like a beautiful family. He's one of four boys. He's one of the middles and it's nice. Like I come from an only child family. My parents are divorced and it's nice to be kind of like welcomed into this like larger family. And his bubby is so great. The first night I met her, I was going to say bye and her and I started talking and then she looked at me and she was like, oh my God, are you Jewish? And I said, no, I'm not Jewish. And she was like, but are you convertible? And I was like, I have no idea. I was like, maybe. And that was the first night I had also met Danny. So that was like August, but of 2021. But yeah, so things are going really good. Thank you guys for all your support. You guys are so sweet. I also saw a comment being like, are you guys still together? I haven't seen, you know, pics of him or whatever. Yeah, he's he's still around. And someone is asking if I'm going to have a Jewish wedding one day, and the answer will be yes. So I'm, you know, I'm excited to kind of post that journey. If you guys are interested, I'd be happy to do so when the time comes. Okay. Then my next question is, aren't you tired? So many podcasts and accounts to run. Okay. If you, like I said, are new here, or maybe you've been following me for a long time, but you're not really sure what I do for a living or what is really my job. Okay, let's get into it. So I started Bravo Historian in August of 2018. It was like August 1st, I think. And at the time I was working at a dental office. I had really just wanted, when I applied there, it was, you know, I'd worked there for 5 years, but when I originally applied for the dental office job for just for a front desk position, I really just wanted like a very stable job. I just wanted something that gave me a paycheck every 2 weeks. I didn't want a job where I had to think about too much. I was coming out of like a really chaotic few years. Like my early 20s were the worst times of my fucking life. I was in a really horrible relationship with a really demonic human being who was, oh God, like horrible and really like derailed my path in life. You know, my self-worth was quite literally in the garbage toilet dumpster. And yeah, so I was living in hell, and I really was just like, you know, and then I worked at Bare Minerals for a few years, but that was like kind of during that chaotic time too. Like I just was like unwell. Like Gracie and I, when she's on this podcast, like we've mentioned, like there was a period in my life where I was so mentally like unstable. And I had the craziest part, you guys, is I had no idea I had anxiety. None. I went to the doctor one day and I literally was crying. And I said to her, I was like, I can't, this was in my like mid 20s. I was like, I can't get a hold of my emotions. Like I'm feeling every emotion you can feel, every high, every low, like I'm in hell. And she like gave me this paper to fill out. And it was like, do you feel X, Y, and Z? Never, sometimes, or always. I circled always for every single question. And she looked at me, she's like, okay, babe, like you definitely have anxiety and depression. I was like, I do? So that's when she got me on Zoloft. Like, so you guys can understand, like I needed just a stable, no nonsense job. And the thing is I also didn't go to college. I tried many times, but it just wasn't for me. And that was also a huge, huge contributor to me feeling like a worthless piece of shit, is because when you grow up, in my experience, I was surrounded by people who were all going to go to college. They all knew what they wanted to be when they grew up. They all had a path. They all knew what they wanted. I never knew, ever. I never could see more than like a month into my future, because growing up, my life was a little unstable. We don't have to get into that on this podcast, but it was unstable. So I just never really was able to think that far ahead, because life changes, you know, life throws you a curveball and you got to roll with it. And so I tried going to community college, and you know, I took a lot of art classes, and those were like where I really succeeded. So, I mean, I wanted to be everything. Like I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. I wanted to be like a creative director in advertising. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be an art teacher. I wanted to be a landscape architect. Like you name it, I wanted to be it, because I never knew how to like hone in my talents into like just one thing. Like I just always, I liked doing a ton of different stuff, and I was like, well, why do I have to choose just one? So I would drop out of college, and then I would go back, and then I would drop out, and then I would go back, and I was sick of doing that. I was in a really weird place. I was like, I need to just take a fucking minute. I need to breathe. Because my life was it was spiraling, and not in the sense of like I was a party girl or anything like that. I wasn't. I never was a club rat. I never was like a big, you know, party animal. But I just wanted stability. And so I got this job, and you know, about a year, I want to say. Yeah, a year into working there, I started this Instagram account, Bravo Historian. Just because I've always had a huge love of reality TV and pop culture, I didn't know it was going to be anything. I had no desire for it to be anything, frankly. I just wanted somewhere where I can like talk about the things that I love to talk about and talk about it with people who love it too. Because I also like used celebrity culture and pop culture. I don't know why I feel like I'm going to start crying. I'm so sorry. Okay. This is really embarrassing. I don't know. I'm like very emotional lately, so bear with me. But maybe someone will relate. But when I was in high school, this is so embarrassing. Okay, I'm so sorry. I didn't know I would get like this, but whatever, we're here. Let's lean into it. Okay, let's lean into the crying and the tears. So I had always been a huge fan of pop culture, even as a kid. And I always, you know, think about when I really got into that. Danny's dad asked me, he's like, well, like, when did that start? And I always think about how my parents watched the news all the time, like even as a baby. Like my parents always had the news on 60 Minutes, Good Morning America in the morning, like, literally Peter Jennings, World News Tonight. Like I had a favorite news reporter when I was literally 6 years old. Her name was Dodgett Dhaliwal, and she was, I think, part of Channel 7. I would love to find her and tell her that she literally was everything to me growing up. And then that slowly evolved into like talk shows. So then I was like obsessed with Oprah. I would watch it every day after 4 o'clock. I would watch TRL when I got home from school at 3, and then 4 o'clock was Oprah. And, you know, my aunts would save like People magazines for me. Like I was just obsessed. And maybe that was a part of like escapism, because like it just distracted me from everything else that was going on in my life. But then in high school, now this is where I'm going to start crying, which is like so fucking embarrassing, is I fell in love with Bravo. And I was having a really hard time in school. I wasn't doing that great. My home life was really stressful. It was like the recession. You know, my mom lost her job. You know, it was horrible. And I would watch What Happens Live. Oh my God. Am I okay? Okay. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. This is so embarrassing. But so every night, Oh my God, this is the craziest episode I've ever recorded. Okay. I would watch What Happens Live every single night. And okay. And Andy Cohen would like bring on these people and like play these games. And it was like so fun. And it was really amazing to see someone who loved the same things that I loved, but no one around me loved them. So it was like, I really felt so connected to him. And this is so embarrassing. I'm literally crying about Andy Cohen at 5:20 on a Tuesday. Like, get a grip. But I just saw him as like this, like, amazing person, and I loved the celebrities that he had on, and they would play Plead the Fifth, and like, you know, it was like the era of like NeNe Leakes coming on, and you know, Kim Zolciak calling in, and like it was like such a very important time for me, because I needed that, like I needed that escape so bad. And so I just kind of wanted to bring that vibe or connection to other people as well. Cause it's like, I wanted to talk about Housewives. I wanted to talk about reality TV. And so I started the Instagram and hoping, you know, that I would connect with people like me who, you know, maybe felt the same way. Wow. Okay. So embarrassing. I'm so sorry I started crying about that. It really gets me emotional, you know, because knowing like now I started the account and I wasn't really thinking of, you know, making it into anything. And, you know, I'd never dream to have hosted a panel at BravoCon. Like, I would have never dreamed to have been at guest on Watch What Happens Live with Sasha and Evan Ross Katz and Danny Pellegrino and, like, talking to Annie Cohen, like, over Zoom. Like, I could have never fucking in a million years have dreamt of that. And, like, I remember, like, after I got done filming Watch What Happens Live, like, I just bawled my eyes out because it was just, like, a full circle moment and it was, like, really special, you know? Anyway, that's enough of that. So I started the account and then kept doing it, was just having fun with it. You know, it started growing, which was, like, really weird. Like, I was like, what's going on? Like, why are people, like, liking this? But they were. And super fun. There weren't a lot of Bravo accounts back then. Like, there was really just, like, me, Faces by Bravo, Danny Pellegrino, two judgy girls. And, like, I will never forget the first time Danny Pellegrino and I, like, messaged. I, like, couldn't even believe it. I was like, oh my God, like, that my favorite person in the world is, like, messaging me. I was freaking out. And then a year later, I got offered a freelance writing position with Betches, and that was huge. And, you know, I was able to do all of this because of the dental job. I was able to have the bandwidth and the, you know, the mental and emotional capacity to start, like, a fun creative outlet on the side because, you know, it was just a stable paycheck, whatever. And I was also able to live on my own for the first time because of that job. And, you know, I've made literally no money there, but I, you know, it was good for, it served its purpose. And so I started doing that, and then I would, and then I got freelance jobs just through, like, people finding my tweets. One time I tweeted about Kim Kardashian being emancipated from Kanye, and Cosmo reached out. Like, that's the thing and the beauty of the internet. And, like, I know that there's a lot of negatives, obviously, but there's so many positives too. Like, it doesn't gatekeep careers anymore. Like, you don't have to, like, live in LA or New York to, like, you know, write for Cosmo, or, like, you don't have to, like, be super well connected and, like, know this person and this person. Like, you can just be yourself on the internet and, you know, have fun on social media, and someone out there is gonna like it and reach out to you. It's really amazing. So I started doing that, and then obviously I got the job at The Dip, and so I felt confident enough in that job that I could quit my dental job, because, like, at that point I was like writing freelance a lot for them. I started the podcast. I did Watch What Happens Live. Like, things were happening, and I was like, okay, like, I'm ready to, like, spread my wings. So I did that. And then over the summer, I got the job with Betches. So at Betches, it's, like, this big media company. I'm sure if you follow me, you definitely follow Betches. I shouldn't have to explain it to anybody. It's really funny explaining that my job to, like, an older person, because they don't understand what Betches is, and they're like, is it like Bitches? I'm like, yes, it's like Bitches. So I did that, or I'm doing that, excuse me, and I got the job running their Betches Brides account. And then now I run that account for the time being, but I also run the Bachelor account, which is their bachelor / reality dating television show Instagram, which is, like, way more up my alley. Than the other thing, or than Brides, which is, like, really cool and a really great experience, but Bachelor is definitely, like, where I thrive. And I'm having so much fun over there talking Love is Blind and Bachelor, but I also produce their podcast, The Bachelor. So that's hosted by Kay York City and Jared Freed. They're really amazing. He's a brilliant comedian, and Kay is just really naturally hilarious and gives great insight into these shows. And, it's also been cool producing it and not being, like, the one to like, having to talk and, like, record. So I get to know more of, like, that side of things. I also host a podcast with Betches called Crown Jewels. It comes out every Thursday, and that's with Lex Nico. She's an incredible follow on Instagram. You must follow her. We talk royals news, and we're not just talking, you know, Brits. We're talking Spain, Denmark, Jordan, you know, all of them. Whatever news is coming up, we're talking about it. It's super fun. It's definitely a passion project for sure. Another passion project for me is I also do a podcast with Chris Lewis, obviously bestie of the pod, and it's called Shortcomings, and it's a Sex and City recap podcast, but we are branching out into new things. So on April 5th, Wednesday, we will be announcing some big, big, big news over at Shortcomings. So be sure to be on alert for that. It's really, really exciting. I can't wait to tell everybody what we're up to over there. And of course I do this. So I do this twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. And I love it. This is like, you know, my baby. This is my special time. Okay. So enough of me crying. That was really, wild. Okay. Next question. How much do we think Schwartz knew about Scandafall? I think Schwartz knew a lot. There are rumors that Schwartz would go out with that girl, Joe, and Tom would go out with Raquel, and they would do like double dates together. This was like for months. I think he knew probably after filming was over. I don't think he knew while they were filming. There's just no chance. I cannot imagine him knowing. But he probably will. Oh, Netflix show recommendations. Obviously, Love is Blind. It's incredible this year. Incredible this year. Last year I thought was good. But these people seem to be like, yeah, a little unstable, but also like really in it for the right reasons. That, I mean, I could be really ignorant on that, but that's my truth. What cocktail would you have next to you if you were in a Vanderpump Rules confessional? That is such a good question. I would have, I'm so fucking basic. I would definitely have a glass of white wine, cold white wine, or I would have like a delicious sort of cocktail that has like rosemary in it and lemon. I don't know what it could be, but like I've had so many drinks where it's like gin and like soda water and rosemary and lemons, and it's just like so fucking good. Maybe a little cucumber. I don't know. I'm not a lime girl. I fucking hate limes. Hate them. I will take a tequila shot with a lemon. I do not fuck with limes in any sort of capacity. I think they're so disgusting. Oh my God. Even the thought of a lime, ugh, makes me sick. Sick, I tell you. Oh, back to Netflix show recommendations. So Love is Blind, Outer Banks. I'm loving Outer Banks. I know it came out in like 2020 and like I'm 3 years late, but I'm so fucking into those kids at the OBX, like very, very into it. What else is going on? Obviously, I watch Gilmore Girls reruns constantly. It's like my comfort TV show that I have on in the background while I'm working. What Bravo Celebrity podcast do you listen to? I hate to admit this, but I listen to Two Teas in a Pod, Tamara and Teddy. I can't fucking help myself. Tamara carries that show on her goddamn back, and Teddy is actually likable. They get good tea, and they give great like insight into the shows. Like, it's very, very good. Not Bravo Celebrity related. I listened to this show called The Deep Dive. It's hosted by Jessica St. Clair and Junaan Raphael. I love those women. I would literally throw myself in front of a fucking bus for them. It's like my comfort show. I love, love, love it. Dream Vanderpump Rules blunt rotation and nightmare blunt rotation. So dream blunt rotation would probably be Ariana and Katie, because I feel like they'd be really fun and chill, and like we could like gossip, but like also like not too much, but it would just still be fun. Lots of giggles. Nightmare, honestly, is Sandoval and James. And I love James. I think he's a menace to society, but I think he's a brilliant reality television star. But I would not want to smoke weed with him. I don't think I would like really want to be around him that much, honestly. One Real Housewives franchise recommendation for someone to watch completely. Like from season one on. Oh God, I love them all so much. I gotta tell you, I really think you should watch Real Housewives of Orange County from one on, because that is like just the foundation of these shows. It's brilliant. I watched it. I did like a whole entire rewatch from start to finish, like very recently. So maybe that's why I'm saying that, because it's like very top of mind. But yeah, that's the one I would do, because I also love Tamara. Like, love her. Love, love, love. Okay. Any drama with other Bravo accounts with a T emoji? People always want to ask this and people always want to know. I don't want to say that there's drama. I definitely think that we all love reality TV. Let me just start here. We all love reality TV. So I think we all like naturally like are a little bit snarky, a little bit sassy, a little bit whatever. I just think like there's some people in life that like you vibe with and some people you just don't. And like, you know, there's people that don't like me for whatever reason, and that's totally fine. There's people that I don't like for, you know, whatever reason. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I just think like you're different strokes for different folks. And I don't know if there's any like drama, but I mean, there are definitely like people that don't fuck with each other. You know what I'm saying. So I used to get a lot of questions about people wanting to start their own accounts, and they would ask me for advice. And this is my advice, and it might sound really basic, but I really want it to sit with you in your heart and your soul, okay? Number one, do not ever get involved in the quote unquote drama with other accounts. If someone comes to you and is like, I don't fuck with this person, don't get involved. Like, just let it be. If someone tries to fuck with you, just ignore it, just block them and like keep it moving. I just would never do, like, I think it's so easy to do. It's hard not to, because like we're humans, but I would just try to avoid that. Second thing I would say is just consistency. Like, just post every day. But the part 2B to that is post what you fucking like. Post the shit that like you'd want to see out there. I literally go on Twitter and I tweet whatever I'm thinking, and I close the app and I don't think about it ever again, because I'm just like, whatever. Like, Twitter is a different beast. Instagram, think about like what you'd want to see. Write a long caption, like give your thoughts, give your opinions. People are so scared now to like give their opinions, because I think the problem is a lot of accounts that start with the wrong intention of like, I want to befriend these people, I want to befriend these women. And it's like, I never felt that way. There are definitely housewives where like I like them, we get along, but I don't like want to be DMing them and like being their friend and like texting them. Like, that's just not my vibe. They are like, I put them on such a pedestal, even the ones I fucking don't like. I'm like, you're like, I don't want to get too in the muck, because I don't want it to cloud like how I view these shows. Like, that, because that's also not fun. You know what I mean? Like, I knew so much shit about the Tinsley and Dorinda dynamic during that one season, and it was so hard for me to like stay neutral that I couldn't. I was team Dorinda, but the rest of the world was team Tins, and I was like getting fun, eating alive for it. But I'm like, you guys don't know. So it kind of takes the fun out of it, you know? But yeah. So I would say like, start the account with the intention of like, you just want to have fun. Don't start the account with the intention of like, I then want to be like a groupie to these women, because that's just, it's like embarrassing. Yeah, that's how I feel. Should Rachel and Tom continue on Vanderpump Rules? Yes. I don't know how. I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know how that's going to work. But I do think that they need to stay on, just because this is really good drama. And like, I don't want it to just like at the reunion after. I mean, I guess it does depend on how the reunion goes. I think it's just going to get more explosive, which is like, fine, sure. Let's pop off. I'm sure you've been asked, but do Barb and Ruby get along? Barb and Ruby get along. Currently right now, Barb is at my mom's house. She will be moving back in with me. But my roommate right now is allergic to cats, and so that just can't happen. But yeah, they get along great. They are very funny together. Ruby is just like a good time girl, you know, like she's just all vibes. And Barb, you know, will swat at her, and but it's playful, and that's Ruby really likes that. Let's see. Who from Love is Blind will actually say I do? Okay, I firmly believe Brittany and Brett and Tiffany, of course. I also think Paul and Micah say I do. I just have a feeling. I don't think Zach and Bliss do, and that makes me sad. And I don't know why I feel that way. It's just something I feel in my gut. Kwame and Chelsea, I don't think they say I do. I don't think Marshall and Jackie make it. Jackie was just seen out and about at a baseball game with Josh, Mr. Cauliflower Ear, and I just am disturbed. I don't like Jackie. Oh, someone asks, what part of Michigan am I in or am I from? Oh, she's in Livonia. Oh my God, I used to work in Livonia at the dental office. That's so funny. What a small world. So I grew up in Plymouth, which is about 20, 25 minutes outside Detroit. And then I lived downtown Detroit for several years. And then now I'm in Royal Oak, which I love. It's like, it's a lot more central to things. The thing about Detroit, for anybody listening, is everybody's talking about Detroit's coming back. Detroit's coming back. Detroit's coming back. And I have to say, sure it is. To some extent. I think what they've done with the city is has been incredible. I mean, the Detroit was literally in fucking shambles. Like, so horrible. Okay, horrible. It went bankrupt. It was horrible. And Detroit's also a huge city. So all of Detroit can fit inside the five boroughs of New York City. It's fucking massive. And we have less than 1 million people that live in the city of Detroit. So keep that in mind. And I think what Mayor Dugan has done is great. You know, it's bringing people back downtown because there was, you know, everyone fled. And he's bringing people back down. The great restaurants, you know, Little Caesars Arena with the Pistons games, the Red Wings games. Like, there's a lot of attractions for sure. The Grand Prix is going to be this year, you know, at Belle Isle. It's just exciting. Exciting things are happening. With that said, Detroit is an incredibly tough city to live in because it lacks a lot of basic amenities. So in downtown Detroit, there's Whole Foods and there's a market. That's it. That's all you got. There's like two CVS. There's no public transportation. It's tough. Like to go to like Trader Joe's, like you have to plan your entire day around it. And I know that this is like going to sound like the most like wah, like whatever, but I'm just trying to explain like, if you're thinking about moving down there, like do keep that in mind. Cause to me, the rent just didn't seem worth what I was paying for. Like my rent shouldn't be comparable to Chicago's rent because Chicago, like you get a lot of shit, you know, for your money, I think. You live in like a walkable neighborhood, like whatever. And also a lot of the neighborhoods in Detroit are still in the same horrible condition that they were, you know, 10 years ago. And that is something that he needs to work on and start focusing on the actual communities and the people that have stuck it out in the city that didn't leave because they're getting the fucking shit out of the stick. I also think that there needs to be more like less expensive restaurants. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. You guys tell me. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, do you think you'd ever move out of Michigan? I think about this a lot. I've thought about it. I don't hate it here. Like, I like living in Michigan. I like that we can go up north and we can go to Grand Rapids and we can, you know, go up to the Thumb and like go, like there's lots of things to do. I like having seasons. I like that my family is here. I don't hate it here. I don't think it's horrible. We don't, you know, have natural disasters. We don't have earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes. We don't have like crazy critters running around that could kill us. Like, it's a lovely place to live. Oh, this is really random. Why did Bethany and Carol stop being friends? Bethany and Carol stop being friends because Carol is a Leo and Bethany is a Scorpio. And at the end of the day, those two in friendship just isn't, it doesn't work usually. Because Carol let it all be all about Bethany and got resentful and then wanted it to be a little bit about Carol. And Bethany didn't understand that change of dynamic. And they lost their minds, both of them. What is my current favorite Housewives and my least favorite? So my current fave, oh boy, my current fave honestly is Miami, New Jersey, and Potomac. Those are my top three right now. I love, love, love them. They all bring me something different. I can't get enough. I know people are sick of the Melissa and the Teresa, but I also think New Jersey gives us Jennifer and Marge, Danielle and Rachel, Danielle and it's literally anybody. I'm really enjoying New Jersey this season. My least favorite right now, Salt Lake City. I've talked about it a million times, but they fumbled the bag. They could have had a really, really great season, but they just didn't because they all got up their own ass, especially Heather. Let's see. Does Summer House need an entire cast shakeup? It's so blah right now. Does Summer House need a shakeup? Yes. I think Sam and Corey are the future of Summer House. You heard it here first, folks. And I also think Gabby is a great addition. The girls are really never the problem. Also, did you see that Sierra and Maya are starting a podcast together? Beautiful girls, but I don't think I need to hear from them. Let's see. How... This is a funny one. How often does Chris Lewis make you cry from laughter or otherwise? Chris Lewis, I was put on this planet to give Chris Lewis a podcast so he could show the world that he's a goddamn star. I needed to get him out to the people because Chris is honestly one of the funniest people, the smartest person I've ever met. He makes me laugh. I love him so much. And people are always like, he's so mean to you. He drags you. He does do those things. Like, he does drag me. But I think it's funny because he's not wrong. Like, the things that he's saying about me are not wrong. And he's also, like, the first one to, like, send me flowers if I'm having a bad day or on my birthday. Like, he's always the one to, like if I'm having a hard time, like, I can call him and, like, he'll be there for me. He's such a good friend. And, you know, yeah, he's a little harsh, but I would rather have a harsh friend than a loser fucking friend. Period. This is interesting too. Describe yourself, not physically. Okay. How would I describe myself? I would describe myself as someone who, let me think about that and I'll get back. I'll get back to you because I don't know. Oh my God, this I got a lot. Can you host a watch party or some sort of meetup? I would absolutely fucking love to do that. I have been thinking about this for a long, long time. And my biggest fear is that nobody would come. I am terrified of that. But I would love to do that at like a bar and like just have a good time. Maybe do like a projector screen of like an old episode of Housewives. Like I would just love to do that. I hope and pray that I can do something like that soon. Okay. Let's see. What are the things you do to feel alive in the day while working from home? I need tips. Girl, if you know, let me know. Working from home is one of the hardest things I've ever done. I think it's very convenient. And I think that if you have kids and a family or a spouse or even a partner that's home with you or you have something like that, like if you have kids especially, I think it's great because it allows you to get a lot of stuff done. You know, your schedule is a little bit more open than it would be if you were just stuck in an office. But it's hard sometimes. Like, it kind of stifles creativity, in my opinion. Like, I have a hard time with it. It also enables poor behavior in me, which is like just sitting around and doing nothing. It makes me not want to leave the house. It, you know, I find no reason to leave if I during the week, really, unless I have like actual plans. But I'm not one to just be like, okay, I'm like gonna run out to the store. Like, I just won't. So if anybody has tips on how to feel alive while working from home, let me and Sir Steph 92 let us know. Okay, let's wrap this up. The Bravo show that needs needs a revamp and which is worth saving. Let's see. I honestly think Southern Charm needs a revamp, but I don't think it's worth saving. I just think sometimes things were good when they were really good and we should have just left them there. That show hasn't been good in a really long time, in my opinion. Summer House. I just think Summer House needs a revamp. But yeah, so I'm going to be answering more of these questions on, some more questions on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for submitting your questions. I absolutely love you all. You all have changed my life in so many ways. You've given me so much, and I really, really can't thank you guys enough. I know that sounds lame and or whatever, but I really, really mean it, because now I'm able to like do what I love, and it's been an incredible opportunity. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I will see you guys next week. Bye. A Huda Media Production.